Malcolm Turnbull has dramatically changed his front bench, adding three women to cabinet to take the total to five, including making Maurice Payne the nation's first female defence minister. It'll be an unfamiliar front bench to many, with people like Joe Hockey, Tony Abbott, Kevin Andrews and Erica Betts gone, as well as the surprise omission of Bruce Bilson. Newly promoted ministers will be sworn in later today, while the dumped former MPs decide on their futures. A short time ago, the new Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull joined me in our Parliament House studio. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, welcome to the program.
You're very kind.
Congratulations.
Thank Thanks very much.
It has become a bit of a cliche, obviously, but it has also unfortunately become a perennial question in Australian politics. Have you got blood on your hands, and how do you overcome the criticism that you have now become exactly like the party you criticised?
The principal thing that we've got to focus on, Michael, is the demands of Australia in the future, today and in the future. We've got to focus on the big challenges we face. How do we remain a prosperous first world economy with high wages and a generous social welfare safety net? That's why this is a 21st century government, a ministry focused on the challenges of the future with the people and the skills and the priorities that will ensure that we remain prosperous.
You've still got a bit of healing to do in the party, though, haven't you?
Well, political parties, you know, there are disagreements in political parties, but you can see that this is a cabinet of all the talents. There are people who've been promoted to the cabinet who did not support me in the recent ballot. There are several very dear old friends of mine who have offered to stand down, and I accepted that in order to make room for others. So this has been, no one could suggest that this has been, this cabinet, this ministry has been assembled on any basis other than merit.
Okay, Scott Morrison, as expected, is Treasurer. Well, we all know that he's ambitious. Did you do a deal with him? And are we likely to hear about a Kingston-style Kirribilli agreement sometime in the future?
Scott will do a great job as Treasurer, and that's what we're focused on.
So there's no backroom agreement about any future leadership?
Michael, honestly,
I just want to put it.
Here we are with this wonderful new cabinet, with brilliant younger people, with the first woman defence minister, with five women in a cabinet that used to only have two,
We will get to the
Kingston agreement or whatever it is. I mean, seriously.
Okay.
Let's focus on everyone that's listening really wants to. Look, we've got to change the paradigm, and that means politicians like me have got to change.
Precisely.
And with great respect, distinguished journalists like you've got to change. We've got to talk about the real issues that affect people's lives. And that's why don't we do that?
Well, let's do that. You've been a strong advocate for a republic, for same-sex marriage, for stronger action on climate change. Mm-hmm. So far, you've proposed no advancement on any of those issues. What's the point of being Prime Minister if you can't do what you wanted it?
Well, let me say this. Dealing with all of them, in terms of same-sex marriage, there is a process which will involve a plebiscite, a vote of the people after the election. And every Australian will have a say on whether they agree with it or not. So that will be resolved. So, but just in case you're wondering, I'll be voting for it. So I'll be voting yes. Many of my colleagues will be voting the other way, but that's cool. You know, we've got a divergence, or not a divergence, a diversity of views on that issue. Climate change, we have a significant target for reductions, emission reductions, 26% to 28%. It's comparable to similarly situated countries.
That you didn't agree with, though, when it was first proposed.
Well, but the policy that we have is a policy I absolutely did agree with because it came out of the cabinet. What you're referring back to is remarks I made many years ago about something that was quite different.
Sure.
You know, what we have now is a specific set of measures that was put together by Greg Hunt with great care, and really, Greg did a superb job doing that. Those measures are able to enable us to cut our emissions by the 26% to 28% target, and they will do the job. Now,
so there won't be any changes to those policies?
Well, there'll be changes to policies if they don't work as well as we think, or we think others can work better. Again, you know, none of this is written in stone, what I'm saying is I don't have any plan to change those policies because everything we see at the moment suggests they're working very well.
Okay, you were very critical of the economic direction under the Abbott government when you first announced your challenge. You're now talking about reform, particularly tax reform. Presumably a GST increase is in that mix because real reform, presumably, you would assume real reform isn't possible without a GST increase or changes to it somehow.
Well, you may very well say that, but that's not necessarily the case. There are many levers in the tax system, many possible combinations of measures, and it's important that we look at all of them.
Is that an avenue you're going to look at?
Well, of course. You've got to look. Let's get back to fundamentals. We have to lift our productivity. We have to be more innovative, more competitive. We have to be more productive. We've got to do that because otherwise our living standards will decline. So that's the challenge ahead of us. Now, what we have to do as the government is, as the cabinet and of course, the party, you know, the governing party as a whole, all of our members and senators, we've got to look at all of the levers and measures we can use to improve incentives that make us more productive and, you know, greater participation of women in the workforce, a more innovative business culture, better support and better outcomes for startups. There are a whole range of things that we have to do, and you've got to look at measures across the board. And it's, you know, you can say, well, that means you want to do X or Y about the GST. That's not necessarily the case. There are many different approaches you can take. You know, you see, the object is, and it's a bit like the climate change issue. In climate change policy, the object is to cut emissions. Economic policy, the object is to ensure a higher level of economic growth and higher living standards. That's the objective. There are many different routes you can take. You've just got to choose one or a series of routes, and then. Recognize that you must constantly monitor them and adjust if they're not performing as well as you think. This is a critically important point.
Sure.
When governments change policies, it's often seen as a backflip or a backtrack or an admission of error. That is rubbish. We've got to be agile all the time.
On the policy front, then?
Yes.
There is one still stuck in the Senate. Are you going to go push ahead with the uni deregulation?
Well, the cabinet will be considering that. That's certainly an issue that's on the agenda. Well, so I'm not saying what's on the agenda for cabinet. I'm not going to do that. But on the general political agenda, it is one of the things to continue. The government's position is that reform of the higher education system to enable really to promote excellence and greater diversity and choice and higher ed is very, very important. But clearly, we've got political realities to deal with in the Senate, and so we've got to.
So it's possible it could change. You could change that position.
Well, if you can't get something through the Senate, it is, I would say, it's highly possible that you could change it to something that will get through the Senate. This is what John Howard calls the iron laws of arithmetic.
There has been a noticeable rhetorical shift in the last week or so. You're asking Australians to make a pretty big leap from the death cult coming to get us to now we're living in the most exciting time ever. Now, you have had all the briefings. Presumably, we do still have a national security problem.
Yeah, well, again, Michael, that's this is a sort of a straw man you're setting up here. Of course we have national security challenges. Of course we do. And we have great agencies. In the police, the security services, the military, indeed, are working to ensure, you know, to protect us. And we have to be very aware of those challenges. And I'm keenly aware of those challenges. And I've written and spoken about national security issues and strategic issues for a very long time.
I guess my point is, equally, were they overblown? Equally,
we are living in the most exciting time in human history. We're living in a time of rapidly expanding opportunities right across the world. There has never been a more exciting time to be an Australian. Yes, there are challenges. There always are. But overall, the prospects for Australia are outstanding. Australians have every reason to be optimistic and excited about the opportunities that lie ahead.
A couple of quick questions. Joe Hockey, he's resigned, or will, he's offered his resignation.
Joe has said that he is. He asked not to be included in the ministry.
But he's made it clear he's leaving the parliament.
That's exactly right.
Has he been offered the US ambassadorship?
I can't add anything more to what I said yesterday, that I expect that he will have the capacity to serve the nation in the future.
And are you going to live in the lodge?
Well, the lodge is, when it is finished, is the official residence of the Prime Minister, and certainly that is where.
So when you're in Canberra,
when Lucy and I are in Canberra, that's where we'll live. Yes.
Okay, Malcolm Turnbull, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
And that's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull.